Yeah.
That reminds me, there's an old Star Trek episode where Picard is taken by the Q. I love some of those Q episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And he's taken back, and all the bad things in his life, or the things that he thought were mistakes, get taken away from him, and he kind of relives his life without all the mistakes, and
yeah.
He realizes it's really boring, and that it made him, you know, he said it unraveled the fabric of his life by taking those experiences out.
Tapestry.
Or the tapestry, yeah. I thought that was really good.
There's some interesting ones like that, yeah.
Well, since we're pawns in this universal game that God has created, how do you think he thinks we're doing?
Well, you are part of his mind. How is that?
He doesn't know. He forgot.
He's a pawn in his own game.
He lost the cheat sheet.
Well, yeah, but a pawn can become any, you know, any
pawn or the player.
Ultimately, it can become any piece on the board if it gets.
Now, fortunately, there's all kinds of levels of progression. There are beings that are not the one God, but are great entities that have progressed far beyond us, that are able to, that have gone up to, say, let's say there's seven levels in the game. There are entities that have gone up to maybe the sixth level or so. And we're at level maybe two, let's say. So they can give us clues. If we get stuck, well, the guys that have solved it, they can give us some hints as to what we need to do to solve the equations on our part.
Because they're almost as bored as God, so they need something to do.
Would you say that?
Oh, I'd say he's level four or some, yeah, in the scheme of things.
Yeah, and he's just a junior, right?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, he's a young upstart there. But even though he is one of the younger masters, he still has some of the best knowledge of the rays. That's his specialty, is studying the rays and how they work. They had him transmit the knowledge about them. Okay, so we descend down to the world of ideas, and then through the buddhaic, where we channel the ideas we have down into the worlds of form. And then we begin to manifest our intelligence in the form itself. And we begin to create forms in what is called mental matter itself. And we begin to master this world where we think, we brought these ideas down, and we think and we create a heavenly realm. And when the intelligences descended down and created mental matter and began to create with the mind, they created all kinds of spheres of existence there. And Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Well, there are all kinds of mansions and glorious realms created by the intelligences that descended down to the realm of the mind. And then the next realm was the astral world. This is governed by emotional energy. And this is where they were probably the most nervous place to enter. And so, but the interesting thing is the astral world is very closely connected to the physical. And so the descent wasn't just directly to the astral world, but it was to the astral, physical, at pretty much one time. Because to create the astral world, there had to be an interplay between the mind and physical reality. And so when physical reality began to manifest, our intelligence interplayed with the etheric, physical level. And that interplay created the astral world, which is pure illusion. In other words, the astral world just wasn't created and then the physical. But the astral world was created by an interplay between mind and the physical. And the interplay between mind and physical operates somewhat on the fear principle, that warp and woof of fear that was interwoven in the fabric of space caused an interplay between mind thinking, and then the problems in physical reality created desire, fear, all kinds of emotions that began to create this astral world. And because it was created through this type of interplay and fear was involved, it created a tremendous illusionary world. And everything in this world, in the astral, is illusion. And the seven different levels in the astral world that's available after we die, and they're all full of illusion. Even the heaven is illusion, which we talked about yesterday. The fact that the heavenly realms in there are really just kind of a dream state that is there for people to fulfill the desires that were suppressed or the desires that were unfulfilled. They can go to the higher levels of the astral world and fulfill them and fulfill their dreams.
But the place that feels good and you're glad to be there. And
yeah, right. It's a heaven for the average person. Now, for the highly evolved... Right. Now, the lower realms of the astral world are more like a nightmare. You're right. Right.
I read somewhere, and I don't remember where, that the Buddha, in his meditations, was enticed by celestial, glorious beings to stay here and relax for a while. And he said, no, I'm not interested. Moving on. And to that effect. I don't know. I don't remember where.
The void.
Now, let's use the law of correspondence again to trace the evolution of our consciousness. Let's correspond it to the consciousness we experience right here, right now. What are the states of consciousness that we have? There are three main states that everybody goes through in a 24-hour period. Okay, being awake. Right now we're in a state of being awake. Okay?
We think.
There's two more states of consciousness that we're in during the 24-hour period. What is it?
Daydreaming?
Four. That's good. I forgot that. Overlooked that. Daydreaming has another. We got four states. We got regular awake consciousness. And we got the daydreaming state where you're in a daze, you're driving down the road, not paying attention, dreaming about what you're going to eat for dinner tonight or whatever, and then you just about have a wreck, you know. So that's a state of consciousness. But there's two more.
Meditative and contemplative.
No?
Dream sleep? Dream?
Dream, but there's two in the dream, there's two in your sleep itself. What's those two states of consciousness and
like
sleep?
Like beta and delta?
Kind of. Two states of consciousness in your sleep. What are they?
Sleep and dream.
Right. Okay. One state of consciousness in sleep is where you're having a dream. Right. The other state is dreamless sleep. You ever think of what's happening during dreamless sleep? Is really nothing happening or is something happening? Yeah,
something. Your short-term memory is going into long-term memory, where it's being filed away for later.
Okay, yeah, things are happening there. But you know, you also have a sense of time during dreamless sleep. You can go to sleep, not dream about anything, and you wake up, you have a sense of how much time has passed. Now, sometimes if you really go deep, you kind of lose that. But normally, like when I go to, I wake up in the morning, I have a sense of what time it is. And even though I wasn't keeping track of time during the night, it doesn't matter whether I've dreamed or not. How about everybody here? Do you have kind of a sense of time?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So these states of consciousness reflect kind of our evolution. In the beginning, we were with God in the divine space, and that was dreamless sleep. There's a sense of time passing even though there's really no time, because time technically is governed by motion of form, and there was no form. And the same thing with us. In a dreamless state, there's no form really what would give us a sense of time? Yet we're somewhat aware that time is still passing, even though we're in a deep state of dreamless sleep. And so the dreamless sleep is a reflection back, a correspondence to our beginning with God. In the beginning, we're in a state of dreamless sleep, absorbing everything that we've learned. Now, in the state of dreamless sleep, something is happening, but it's on a level that we can't remember when we're awake. But some things are still happening. Things are going on. We're absorbing things. And like Lorraine said, it's even been physically proven that we process our memories and things like this during our dreamless sleep. So even the scientists realize something is going on during this dreamless sleep. And that's what happens during the Great Pralaya. We are processing everything that happened and formulating the new game. But when we're awake now, we don't remember anything that we processed. And when we wake from a sleep, we don't remember anything that we processed either, do we? You remember what you processed last night, Asif? Or did they keep you awake all night? So we just don't remember anything that happened. But it's interesting to correspond that to the dreamless sleep to the beginning. And the next stage is, and consciousness is where we dream.